The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Unusually dry conditions are hampering fire crews as they battle over a dozen blazes across California, Nevada, Arizona, and Utah. Fleming Bertelson is with California's Los Padres National Forest.
This year, we had less than 50% of our annual rainfall, and as a result, the fuels are at less than 50% moisture content right now, which is it's a critical level right now.
Japan has just broken its heat record, notching 106.8 degrees. It may get even hotter there. Smoke from Canadian wildfires continues to cause air quality concerns for millions of Americans in the Midwest and Northeast. CBS Philadelphia meteorologist Grant Gilmore.
The worst of the air quality, not just in the United States, but in the world, is right in Detroit, but still some reduced air quality across the Northeast today as we track some of that smoke being pulled to the south and to the east.
Two Department of Homeland Security officials told CBS News U.S. border agents have been told to stop deporting migrants under President Trump's ban on asylum claims. That follows a federal court order. Border officials have now been told to process migrants through a procedure known as expedited removal, which allows migrants to at least apply for asylum. Police in Tennessee are searching for the man they say killed four people and kidnapped a baby last week. Correspondent Nancy Chen.
28-year-old Austin Robert Drummond allegedly took the baby after killing its parents, grandmother, and uncle. It was later found alive and abandoned 40 miles from the scene. Three people connected to the murders have since been arrested, and authorities have not revealed how those arrested helped Drummond or how the four individuals were killed. Drummond is believed to have fled the state and considered armed and dangerous.
CBS's Jim Krasula reports a grand jury declined to indict a former Atlanta police officer on manslaughter charges in the death of a church deacon.
62-year-old Johnny Holman Sr. died in August of 2023 after refusing to sign a citation following a traffic accident. Video shows former Atlanta police officer Kieran Kimbrough using a taser on Holman, who later died. An autopsy determined Holman's death was a homicide, with heart disease as a contributing factor.
3,200 workers at three Midwest Boeing plants remain on strike after rejecting the latest contract deal.
That deal, important to mention, included a 20% wage increase over the course of 4 years. Union leaders had actually recommended approving this earlier offer. They called it a landmark agreement. They said that it would essentially improve medical, pension, and overtime benefits.
Correspondent Chanel Call reporting. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A Brewers win in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers face the Braves again tonight after winning last night 3-1. Isaac Collins, a three-run homer. Starting pitcher Quinn Priester going 7 innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
He's been sensational. I was kind of thinking today in about the 5th inning, this kid kind of represents who we are. Nobody knew who Quinn Priester was, and now they do. It's just amazing to see the kid just flourish the way he is.
NFL Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs is out for at least the next 3 weeks after having knee surgery over the weekend. GM Brian Gutekunst on why he signed Hobbs from the Raiders to a 4-year deal worth $48 million.
Yeah, we're trying to become a certain kind of football team that can win and win, you know, deep into the playoffs. And there's a certain kind of a physicality that you have to have. And Nate Hobbs brings all that, and that's why we brought him here.
The team has re-signed defensive back Corey Ballantyne after he was released by the Colts. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Just a few clouds around here the overnight. Otherwise, light winds. And as we start off your Tuesday morning, temperatures will be in the lower 60s. Now, there will be a little bit of a haze to the sky in the morning. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, southeast winds, and lower 80s. It's 60 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us and you made it through Monday. Hopefully you're nearing the end of your work day and it was a good one. Keep it cool out there, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to Matt Rothschild and each and every one of you for your participation and discussion over this open field of candidates that we have for the Wisconsin gubernatorial election coming up in 2026. At the very least, ladies and gentlemen, contested primaries get folks engaged. It will be fascinating to see how this all plays out. One of the interesting questions that Matt Rothschild and I got into last hour was female candidates. And the fact that especially on the Republican side of the ticket, we've seen very, very few female candidates for statewide elected office make it past the primary. And I think it's been an overarchingly quite hostile environment, especially on the Republican side of the ticket. I often like to remind people as well, we've never had a female statewide chief executive officer, meaning governor. We've never had a female Milwaukee County executive. We have never had a female City of Milwaukee mayor. There are big obstacles in the way, some of them quite entrenched and systemic, generically a wee bit of the old boys club. Now, what's interesting in this moment is that I think certainly Donald Trump and the MAGA movement, to a big degree, have basically given a huge bear hug to the old boys club, saying, yeah, this is exactly how things should work, which is ironically, exactly anti-meritocratic, right? No one makes an argument that a woman should get the job because they're a woman, but she also shouldn't be eliminated from the job or the running for the job because she's a woman. That's just as stupid. And I wanted to get into this specifically from the viewpoint and what we're seeing here in the Milwaukee area in the private sector when we look at C-suite or top-level leadership in companies here in Wisconsin. Joining me to have this conversation this hour is Lori Richards. She is the CEO of Mueller Communications. Welcome, Lori. It's a real pleasure to have you.
Maggie, thank you so much for having me. Delighted to be here.
It's so important. Over the last few years in Milwaukee, as you well know, we've seen a number of top female C-suite executives, so meaning chief operating officers, fiscal officers, CEOs, they can be information officers, exit or retire, and all of them have been replaced by men. At the same time, we're seeing just a few women that have replaced men in the C-suite. In other words, new women in these top-level leadership positions. One, of course, our friend Sarah Panchetti at Summerfest, the Milwaukee World Festival Organization, I think doing an outstanding job by all accounts in what is a very difficult industry and niche. But folks, if you don't know about some of these other women that we're talking about, we've got Michelle Glass at Kohl's, Peggy Troy at Children's Hospital, Kathy Jacobson at Freighter, the list goes on. What's going on here, Lori, in your viewpoint, and as a woman in a C-suite, and kudos, you've also sat on a number of boards. You continue to serve on a number of boards. We also see women trailing men in that measurement as well. What's going on now? Why are we seeing fewer women rather than a slow, consistent uptick, which I think you would expect all else being equal?
Right. And let's be honest, right? The pace has not been fast enough for my taste, and I'm sure yours as well, when we're talking about women joining the ranks of the C-suite. But there's been a really interesting trend over the last handful of years where it seems like even the slow pace has slowed even further. Now, layer in what's happening with the administration, what's happening with, I'm using air quotes that you can't say, DEI right now.
Yes.
And it seems like it could be an alarming trend, right? What are we seeing right now where all of a sudden even the progress we were making at finding more equity at the top levels is really starting to slow down? It's an interesting topic, and recently I facilitated a information session for a business group. One of the speakers that we had was Andrea Schneider from the Institute for, formerly of the Institute for Women's Leadership at Marquette. She's really dug in and actually looked specifically at the legal industry, at some of these trends. However, I think they apply to businesses across the board. But it was really interesting because it looked at things. It looked at the numbers of women entering, first of all, the legal profession, entering law school, more women than men.
And it has been for a long time.
Graduating law school, more women than men.
Yes.
Entering the ranks of big law firms, more women than men. But then fast forward to leadership positions, and it tends to dwindle at that level to 20 to 30%, something like that. So the question is, what happens in between those periods of time? Andrea did a really interesting job of sort of unpacking some of the theories around this. One being, well, women take a step back when they have children, right? The lean-in theory. And she actually really looked at women also who chose not to have children, and they were affected by some of the same numbers. It's not as if women without children were entering the C-suite at greater numbers.
And just a little anecdote there, and folks, if you're just joining us, I've got Lori Richards, CEO of Mueller Communications. We're talking about how women in C-suite positions, the pace of that seems to be slowing down. Mm-hmm. I think corporate boards of publicly traded companies, they see headwinds. I think they see greater risk for women based on nothing more than political hyperbole in this moment. All bad. I think all of these things end up translating. The business case here is so very important. They end up translating into worse business results for shareholders,
right?
Like lower wages for people. And we can get into the business case for women and other people of more diverse backgrounds in leadership. But just an anecdote, when I was in big law, and I worked for some of the largest law firms in the world, I had made it fairly well known that I wasn't married, I'm not looking to have kids, because I was incredibly concerned about that bias. And I had a partner one day look me in the face and say, yeah, you say that now, but tomorrow you'll meet Mr. Wright, and in a year you'll be pregnant. And so I'm not assigning you to this big, juicy, fat case that was going to be going on for a long time. He actually said the quiet part out loud to me. Didn't even occur, and you can't really do this in the legal industry, which is sue over this stuff because you get blackballed and you'll never work again. So I wasn't going to do that. But it was precisely this thing that you're talking about. Whether you're single or not, the presumption is, oh, you're going to off-ramp at some point. And it is inhibiting many women's careers, regardless of their objectives, in a way that is never on the table for men.
Mm-hmm. Even the founder of my firm, who's been my biggest champion, my biggest advocate, my biggest mentor, when I told him I was pregnant with my first child, I remember him saying, I'm really fearful you're not going to return. That's what happened to my wife. Right. Mm. So we see people apply their other experiences, even though we know ourselves best and better. I know how important this professional experience is to me and that it wasn't going to be a barrier, but it was in his mind. Right. He was thinking a lot about it. So but just returning to Andrea's research for a second, I think the really interesting piece that we took away from that is, and I heard you speak about this earlier, as it applies to politics, it still comes down to this old boys network. It comes down to the country club spaces where the golf outings, where women aren't present, because a lot of business still happens in those spaces. Deals are done. And if you're not even a part of the conversation, it's really hard to break into those spaces. Now, add in the environment that we're seeing right now, the political environment, the point in time where even as a female CEO, maybe people are questioning, did you get that job because you really earned it? Or did you get that job because it was just a good PR move? Feels really bad to have people ask that question so many years in hindsight, but it's happening.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that the environment has become so much more antagonistic. And every time, often when I'm interacting with conservatives on this program, and I've received a lot of texts in this regard, not so many callers, they don't like to say it on the airwaves, I hear people calling out various women in leadership saying effectively they were a diversity hire. That assumes that the only qualified people are men, or specifically white men. And legit, I know plenty of men out there who have worked for incompetent other male bosses. Mm-hmm. To me, the idea that competency and qualifications, or incompetency, or a lack of managerial or leadership acumen is somehow the purview of one sex and not the other is so stupid on its face. Mm-hmm. And yet it sort of persists. The judgment that is leveled, or the presumption that's made if a woman is in that position, I would tend to think is, wow, she must really be qualified because it is so difficult to get these jobs. And I think even before sort of the anti-woman, you know, nascent, burgeoning, male-centered machismo movement that you've seen in the last few years, that has always been the case. Mm-hmm. And again, yet you hear all these whisperings. I can just say from, again, my own experience, Lori, especially being from the Midwest and not from an Ivy League university, in every space I was in at the highest levels of my profession, I had to come ready to demonstrate my competence in a way that was much different from some of my other colleagues, both men and colleagues that came from a much more elite background.
Absolutely.
So it's an interesting moment in time for us. Let's talk a little bit about the business case. We're going to have to take care of a little bit of business on the live radio here. But I want to think about why, if someone's listening and they've got a granddaughter or a daughter who is in college or entering the job market or working in the post office, right? Or thinking about running for local office, or thinking about maybe entering a trade, why it is incredibly important that we continue to advocate for women in C-suites based, of course, on their qualifications. We're never saying you should hire someone who can't do these jobs, and what it actually looks like to do that. Because I think some men may have an incorrect impression about what that looks like to bring some different backgrounds into the highest levels of leadership. Because we're not talking about people who aren't qualified, and we're talking about thinking about hiring processes and pools and pipelines in a very different way. If you have a comment or question for Lori or I, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. One of the things that, at least for me, and thinking in terms of all of the folks, all of you listening across the state of Wisconsin, at the base case, if it is true that businesses are more profitable and do better when we have more diverse leadership, what, pray tell, is the counter argument? I just don't understand. And what does it mean, again, for your daughters and granddaughters that are coming up in the workplace? What does it mean for women in leadership today? We're going to continue this discussion on the other side with Lori Richards, CEO of Mueller Communications. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I guarantee you there's a market for people who want to watch a middle-aged guy change his clothes, do his dishes. People are so bored and will look at anything. So what I thought could be fun, and Conrad, I need your okay on this. I would never, you know, volunteer you for this, but you and I should both set up OnlyFans page and see who gets more followers.
I'm okay on that. I don't think
He's
I'll
blushing.
Sign.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's off for the day, so I'm guest hosting along with Angela Lang. And we just had Judge Chris Taylor, who's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. And it was great of her to take time off from her busy campaigning. She's got 8 months more to go, Angela, and she seems like a little happy warrior.
Yeah, her energy levels are great. The passion, right? And the fact that she is talking about like the Wisconsin folks. We had the secret show that we like to call it if folks were listening. And, you know, her passion for meeting and connecting with people and to see what they're doing, like it really does feel like a people powered campaign. And I'll say this too, and I didn't, you know, I don't want her to have to always keep bringing it up, but I had once upon a time had a conversation with her. And I'm like, please, for the love of God, do not run tough on crime ads. They do nothing. And then she said that she read the pieces that I wrote for the repopulation area. And sure enough, it didn't come up at all. She's centered even in the interview with us. She's talking about the issues. She's talking about, you know, judicial philosophy, working across the aisle, things like that. So I think I'm really encouraged, right, that I think this is an opportunity to do things differently. And that's kind of why I asked that, like, lessons learned question, because she gets straight to the issues. And we've seen Supreme Court be hyper-partisan. And it feels like she's trying to pull us back to the role of the Supreme Court, especially in this moment with everything happening nationally.
You can join the conversation here, 855-752-4842. We've got Joe from Madison on the line. I always like listening to what Joe has to say. So, Joe, what you got for us?
Well, I would like to respond to a question you brought up in your first half hour, which was give us a call if you've got some ideas on who you might like to see for governor in the upcoming race. And then it went on to this incredibly great discussion. I really urge people to listen to it. The student of Mr. Chesky that you had on, Bob Chesky, and he was just terrific talking about the disintegration of media, if you will. Yeah. And then to hear this enthusiastic, upbeat Chris Taylor, who is headed, would love to head for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And what got me about it is that I was thinking, well, who do I want to have for governor? It's less that a person that necessarily a name, more than an attitude, a several attitudes. Mm. And one of the attitudes that I really want to see is enough of the divisions, enough of the North never goes south. I hate Milwaukee. Milwaukee has never been north of Wausau. Enough with this. This is an incredible state. And I know the word diversity makes some people cringe and all. Let's call it different stories, whatever you want to call it. But boy, we go off the charts in terms of diversity. And I would love to see someone who celebrates the state from Northern Forest, the Lake Superior, that whole lifestyle that's up there to the Mississippi River, to our urban areas. And oddly enough, one person that occurred to me is somebody who is very big on PBS, and that is Wisconsin Foodie, who is constantly traveling around this state and celebrating the little corners of great food all around the state and opening a door to say, look, this is our state. Look at this really cool thing we have. I cannot stand this idea of dumping on Madison, dumping on Milwaukee, and, you know, keeping people separated, which is something that Scott Walker really touted and excelled at, and it is not what we need as we head forward. We have too many great people here, too many great opportunities, and to lose it by division is just, it's sinful. It's absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. So that was my two cents I wanted to add, and I really thought that Chris Taylor really had an attitude of, I'm open, I want to hear what's going on, and forward we go, which is the best way that we could be, is a open and let's go forward.
Thanks so much for that call.
Thanks, Joe.
And yes, you know, what you were saying about our state being an incredible state and not a divided state the way people want to depict us as a divided state, so important. And Judge Taylor, before we were on the air, was making the exact same point, which was really neat. She travels all over the state. She's going to Adams County. She's going all over the place. You know, every day she goes to a different community. And she was telling Angela and me that what impresses her wherever she is that there are so many great people doing great work. You know, she just loves the people of Wisconsin. And she says that the people of Wisconsin, the citizens of Wisconsin, are so much more engaged than citizens in other states. I don't know if she's been to all 50, but, you know, it is a remarkable thing about Wisconsin. People want to see our government work. We are close to our elected officials, especially in the state capital and at the local level. They expect our state to work. They demand that our state works. Enough of the, you know, easy blaming and sometimes racist blaming of folks in Milwaukee, or the casual blaming of all politicians down in Madison. I used to hear that when I would travel up north giving talks, even from Democratic politicians. Well, down in Madison, you do that. And that was just wrong messaging. You're reinforcing ideas that are false, that all politicians are the same, that all politicians are crooked, and that all politicians are just out for their own ambition. That's not true. I mean, I know Mark Pocan. I know Tammy Baldwin at a personal level, and they're not that way. And so this dumping on Madison, this dumping on Milwaukee has got to stop. And I was just thrilled to hear Judge Taylor talk about how great she thinks the state is, how great she thinks the people of Wisconsin are. It wasn't just platitudes. It wasn't just a politician.
This was a secret show. She wasn't doing it for air yet.
We were off the air. She wasn't gaining anything by telling us that. And she sincerely believes that. And we need that in our elected officials who go out all over the state, listen, respect, everybody in the state and want to represent them and represent them in the best possible way. That was Judge Chris Taylor, at her finest, I think. And I've admired her as a legislator and as a judge. And I just wish her all the best in this campaign. Yep. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting along with Angela Lang. And we'll be right back after this break. You can join the conversation. Who do you want to see as governor of Wisconsin? 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. California's Gifford Fire has scorched over 55,000 acres in Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. Sacramento Metro Fire Captain Mark Nunez.
It takes a lot of personnel to take on something of this size. So that's why we're sending strike teams down there right now. It's to assist and to make sure that we have enough personnel to be able to handle the incident.
The haze from Canadian wildfire smoke is settling in over the U.S. Midwest and now the Northeast. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
Some of the worst air quality numbers, over 150, continue across Wisconsin as well as Michigan and then make their way on down into western sections of New York State as well as Pennsylvania.
The strike against Boeing by 3,200 workers at three Midwest plants has entered its second day. This worker is facing the reality of a strike.
It's nerve-wracking because I don't know where my income's going to come in for the time being. I mean, some of us are going to have to go find second jobs, and hopefully you can find second jobs.
CBS News Brief, I'm Michael Toscano.
A Brewers win in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers face the Braves again tonight after winning last night 3-1. Isaac Collins, a three-run homer. Starting pitcher, Quinn Priester, going seven innings. Manager, Pat Murphy.
He's been sensational. I was kind of thinking today in about the fifth inning, this kid kind of represents who we are. Nobody knew who Quinn Priester was, and now they do. It's just amazing to see the kid just flourish the way he is.
NFL Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs is out for at least the next 3 weeks after having knee surgery over the weekend. GM Brian Gutekunst on why he signed Hobbs from the Raiders to a four-year deal worth $48 million.
Yeah, we're trying to become a certain kind of football team that can win and win, you know, deep into the playoffs. And there's a certain kind of a physicality that you have to have. And Nate Hobbs brings all that, and that's why we brought him here.
The team has re-signed defensive back Corey Ballantyne after he was released by the Colts. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Fantastic Four, The First Steps, was tops at the box office this past weekend, despite a bigger attendance dip than prognosticators initially thought. The film opened strong with $117 million last weekend, but dropped off by almost 70% to pull in only $40 million this past weekend. According to Variety, that is a sign the film has not connected with audiences beyond superhero fans. The film is sitting at $198 million domestically and cost $200 million to make. Coming in second place was The Bad Guys 2, which brought in just under $23 million. Matching the original film's take on opening weekend in 2022. Audience scores were through the roof, which could mean the film will be in theaters for a while. Landing in third place with $17 million at the gate was the highly anticipated The Naked Gun. The film pulled in another $12 million overseas. Audience scores for this comedy are also strong. Superman and Jurassic World Rebirth rounded out the top five. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Just a few clouds around in the overnight, otherwise light winds. And as we start off your Tuesday morning, temperatures will be in the lower 60s. Now, there will be a little bit of a haze to the sky in the morning, otherwise mostly sunny skies, southeast winds, and lower 80s. Right now, it's 64.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Allbaugh joins us after 9:30 to break down the news in Wisconsin. Terry Barr in hour number 2 for Audio Sorbet. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I remember when I lost my.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. Maggie's out today, and I'm Matt Rothschild, happily sitting in for her, along with my wonderful co-host, Angela Lang. You can join the conversation anytime by phone or text. The number for both is 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842, or 855-75-CIVIC, if you want to spell it out. We've got Troy from Mount Horeb on the line. Troy, what's on your mind?
Hello, Matt. Hello, Angela.
Hey.
Hey.
Talk to us. You're cutting out, Troy. Can you hear us? Can you speak? Otherwise, we'll have you call back. Troy, we're missing you. I guess we're going to have you try calling back. It sounds like you're out driving. We'd love to hear from you again if you're within audio range. I want to know who else wants somebody to run for governor. The number is 855-752-4842. We've got Sarah Rodriguez, the lieutenant governor, already thrown her hat in the ring. David Crowley, Milwaukee County exec, is strongly saying he's going to join, though he hasn't formally joined. He even consulted with my co-host, Angela Lang. What do you know about that? We've got other folks that sound like they're running. Kel DeRoy, state senator here from the Madison area, wants to run. You know, I put this question on Facebook to the folks that are on my Facebook page or that follow it. I got several people wanting Josh Call to run, our current attorney general. If he runs, I want Maggie Dawn to run for attorney general. I think that would be cool. And then also another popular person, at least among the friends of mine, so-called friends of mine, the Facebook friends of mine, you know, they're friends and they're Facebook friends,
yep.
But some of them are both. Anyway, Ben Wickler, people are putting in a word for Ben Wickler, the former head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Of course, he did a great job when he was at the helm there. So there are a lot of choices. There'll be other names getting in the mix, too, probably. Who do you think I missed, Angela?
I mean, those are the names that I hear the most consistently. I know folks, people are also making speculations because you can see when people open and follow their paperwork. And so usually it's like, you know, Chris for Justice, right? And you have to follow the paperwork. And I think there's like a thing for Ben Wickler. I think I saw like Ryan Clancy, and like they're both coming out and they're like, somebody else started this in my name. This is not me. Just so you know. So I think that's where some of the names are coming from. But yeah, no, I really, going back to Joe's comment, right? It's like, what are the qualities that we're looking for? And to kind of bring it back full circle of what we were talking about earlier about kind of like this division, you know, one of the things, it's like a little tagline that I kept and I feel like resonates with people, but you know, from the North Woods to the North side of Milwaukee, we all want safe, clean drinking water. We all want quality health care and quality public schools and good roads. And so similar to what Judge Taylor mentioned is how are we finding those commonalities? Yes, there's a lot of stark differences between Milwaukee and, you know, the Appleton area, right? Like there's so many differences, but there is enough, right? And who is that person that can build a broad coalition and bring people together?
You know, this is a tough question, this question of what qualities we want. I know Maggie, you know, wants someone with government experience, with some executive experience, not just legislative mm-hmm. experience. And I want someone who's a fighter. I think this is a time where we really need a fighter. So I'm kind of pulled and tugged between someone, you know, who can bring us together on the one hand, and then on the other hand, someone who's really a fighter. And I don't know if you can have both things. I want someone who can present an image and a set of policies that will help everyday Wisconsinites with housing, with health care, with the things that you mentioned, Angela, with good public schools, good drinking water, clean drinking water, get the lead out of the pipes. And it's not just an urban problem. It's a rural problem, too.
Right.
And that is an issue where there was bipartisan support. I know there was a Republican senator up in the Green Bay area who was pushing it, too, when he was in there. And yet some of his colleagues didn't go along with him. And so things got slowed down horribly. And also there was industry pressure as well. But I want someone who will fight and will mobilize. I mean, this was the point that was made by the head of Citizen Action in Wisconsin, Craig, that, you know, this is a time where we have such horrible things happening at the federal level that we need to have people here who are fighting against that. And Judge Chris Taylor was spelling that out. You know, she was saying we can't rely on Trump, obviously. We can't rely on the U.S. Supreme Court, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so who's going to protect us here in Wisconsin? It's going to be the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is now fortunately in progressive hands. And it'll be the governor of Wisconsin who can block if the Republicans still hold both chambers. And that's a real open question, because I think the Democrats now with fairer maps have a chance of flipping one or both of the chambers. You know, what would it mean if Democrats got control of both and the governorship and the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Then we could have, then we could be like Minnesota, because Governor Walz was able to achieve things in Minnesota because they had control of the legislature there. And it's been a long time. I think it's been since 2009 since that's happened here in Wisconsin. And I would just hope that Democrats, if that happens, would be prepared. Like we were talking with our guest, Professor Picard at UPenn, the media scholar who has a great vision for what a real democratic media system, small D, would look like. The Democrats here in Wisconsin need to have a vision of what a better Wisconsin would look like if and when they get hold of power. And I think it's really crucial to spell things out. It's not just a negative. We're not Scott Walker. We're not Robin Voss. We're not Donald Trump. We're not Newt Gingrich, to go back a ways, but we are, you know, we're something different. That's what, you know, real visionary leaders do. That's why I still love Bernie Sanders. I'm an old Bernie guy, but I also love AOC, because they just, you know, they're spelling out that, you know, things can be different. And there's this socialist caucus in the state legislature that is spelling out some of those things. There's an economic bill of rights that they've been pushing forward, and Representative Francesca Hong has been at the center of that movement for a couple sessions, you know, where she really talks about, you know, what would it mean if people have real economic rights here in this state, and if we really represented them and gave them what they need. And I meant it when I said, you know, Democrats can't sell, you know, popcorn at the movie theater or peanuts at the ballpark if they can't spell out things that people really want and desperately need. They know in their gut that they need these things. They know that we all know we need clean water. We all know we need affordable housing for ourselves and for our children. I mean, housing costs in Madison are crazy. Housing costs all across the state are crazy, if you're renting or if you're owning. And people need the relief. And that's what government is for, and clean water, health care, good public education, and really to spell it out and what it means. I think we can have a real mandate if they spell things out. That's what Newt Gingrich did. He spelled out, you know, 10 things we're going to do if we get power. They were horrible things. They got power and they ran the 10 things through.
Right.
But it's good. You know, you need to spell stuff out.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that's really important. And that's why I like what that what that media scholar Victor Picard is doing, and he is following in the footsteps of Robert McChesney. It was nice that Joe gave a shout out to Bob McChesney, oh, good old, great old friend of mine and my wife's, who passed away in March after a terrible one-year bout with brain cancer. But Robert McChesney, sometimes writing with John Nichols here at the Cap Times, spelled out what we need to do to bring about a more democratic media system, a media system that's not in hock to the corporations, a media system that has a lot of funding for public media. You know, part of that conversation, if we can just reflect back on it, it's like, did sound like pie in the sky because we're so far away from that now, but you really need to, you need to put the recipe for pie in the sky out there. Otherwise we're never going to be able to taste that pie.
That's true. I mean, I think that there's so much, and I feel like I definitely would love to have him come back if he is willing. Because I feel like it's such a big, important conversation that like, this is structural. Like if we zoom out, like, you know, the South Park episode making fun of Trump, and it was like, ah, that's funny, right? But like, that's an act of resistance. Colbert still not tampering down his criticism, and right, and whoever, right? And
John Stewart too. Yeah,
we love John Stewart. I even saw today that Trump, I don't know if he tweeted or whatever, but it was on the news that he was going after a radio host, Charlemagne, because he was being critical about like Epstein. And I'm like, so we're just always going to tweet at people that say things or that we don't agree with or we don't like. This is what we're doing in the media.
I mean, imagine that. I mean, here we have a president of the United States who doesn't have better things to do than to sit there and watch the TV and get out his phone and tweet when someone on TV says something he doesn't agree with. There was Charlemagne, there was Elizabeth Warren today who said something about Trump he didn't like on CNBC. And instantly he texted something about that's what he's doing. He's watching TV.
Don't you have tweeting. A job? Don't you have a job, Mr. President?
I mean, it is just, it's amazing. He's either golfing or he's watching TV and tweeting a response to it. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe it's good that he's not at the desk and doing work because everything he does is so horrible. But I mean, like firing the statistician from the Bureau of Labor Statistics on Friday when he didn't like the numbers that were brought in. I mean, this is, we're getting kind of back to the Soviet Union here where they had, you know, as their scientist, Lysenko, a guy who didn't believe in Darwinism, as their head scientist. I mean, that's who he wants, probably as head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Just cook the books for me and make it sound better than it is. I mean, it's that kind of crazy authoritarianism that's coming down from on high. But yeah, that he's spending every day just watching the tube. You know, the Republicans were always saying, you know, who's president of the United States? It's not Joe Biden. Who's running the country? But, you know, if he's just watching TV, you know, who's running the country?
Well, who is running the country? I mean, I think it's also ridiculous. And I think this point, I mean, there's so many things to be upset and frustrated with. So I understand why this might be at like the bottom of the list. But like going back to the conversation about media, there's also something I think incredibly scary of him placing Fox News contributors, hosts, talking heads who are clearly not qualified in these positions of power, right? And so, you know, we sometimes see, you know, press directors, they'll, you know, folks are on MSNBC, right? Like I see how people do that after they leave the White House. It's usually not before, right? And so I think it's just another like angle, is another grab into the media because you're able to control it because you have the talking heads that are in these positions that they are not qualified for. And obviously their former coworkers are going to always defend that. So I think there's some interconnectedness with that. I think that's not, I think it's strategic. I think it's very intentional under Trump's part.
Yeah. If you wanted to be in his cabinet, you should have been working for Fox. I mean, that was the crazy thing. I mean, Pete Hegseth, come on now. I mean, he's just making a total fool of himself every day there over at the Pentagon. He's losing staff every day because, you know, he can't work with this guy. The generals hate his guts. I mean, this is a guy who was way over his head, but Trump liked him on Fox, so we appointed him. I mean, this is why, you know, why we may get through this just because of the incompetence of some of the people around Trump. I'm praying for incompetence. Incompetence and resistance. Incompetence from above, resistance from below is what I like to say. And we are seeing the incompetence from above and incompetence from a president of the United States who wastes his time watching TV and responding by text to anything that it doesn't like and then shooting the messenger if it's a a renowned economist at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we're dealing with now, a crazy authoritarian who's just ruling by whim. We'll be back right after the break with a poem and a bird, and they're connected. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Phone number is 855-752-4842. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. She's Angela Lang. Maggie's out today, but we'll be right back.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Matt Nair on air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by US Aging.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I love that Elton John song. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. Maggie's out today. I'm Matt Rothschild sitting in for her along with my terrific co-host, Angela Lang. It's been fun as always, Angela.
Always. It's such a good show. Also, like, very uplifting show. I mean, we talk about some heavy stuff, but there were some, like, real good glimmers and moments of hope and kind of a little bit of a distant light at the end of the tunnel with some of these things. So I hope the listeners also feel a little encouraged.
Yeah, it was great to hear the media scholar Victor Picard at UPenn chart a vision for going forward. And it was great to hear the enthusiasm from Judge Chris Taylor.
Yeah.
Who I just find so inspiring. You know, she did great work in the legislature as an advocate for criminal justice reform. I mean, you mentioned that you had talked to her about not blaming, you know, not doing those racist tough on crime commercials that a lot of Democratic candidates do as a kind of a knee-jerk fallback. When she was in the legislature, she did a lot of work about lethal force, use of new rules on the use of lethal force by our men and women in the police force. So, and a whole bunch of other things too. So my hat's off to her as a great legislator and a great judge. And I do hope she becomes our next justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Would be such a refreshing change from Rebecca Bradley, who's so toxic.
Yeah, she's just not a pleasant lady.
No, I don't know.
I just, and to clarify my comments, I don't think they need clarification, but like I said, it, you know, her comments were tacky because it was now Justice Crawford's election night, her victory party, and here she was making it about her. And I'm like, girl, go away. You can say this any other time.
Right. Yeah, tacky's okay. Nothing wrong with tacky. And she is tacky.
I think it's tacky.
So anyone who's listened to me on the air here on Civic Media knows that, number one, I'm a crazy bird watcher. And number two, I love poetry. And so I've got a combination. We're going to, the next two nights, be dealing with night birds that come out at dusk. I'm not talking about owls, and that fly around really fast. The one for today is a chimney swift. A chimney swift is a first cousin to the swallow. It's a very small brownish swallow, and they fly in big groups, and they actually live in chimneys or caves in the summertime. And we have a little bit of noise. Jacob, if you could play the chimney swift sound.
It's so cute.
Just little tweeterings, yeah.
It's so cute. I love it.
Yeah, and you'll see them in groups flying super fast. Some people mistake them for bats. They're not bats. Oh. These are birds. These are chimney swifts. And so just coincidentally and oddly coincidentally, I was reading a book of poems by C.K. Williams, who is a favorite, one of my favorite poems. It was poets, and it was at my desk. The book of poetry is called Repair, but he's got a poem called Swifts, about chimney swifts. So I'm just going to read the last paragraph of it. It's two stanzas. I'll read the last stanza. Tiniest dear ones, but chargers too, gleaming, potent, little coursers of the firmament, smaller, surely, lighter, but with that much force, that much insistence and enchantment, godlings nearly, cast upon the sky as upon a field of thought until then never thought, gravity exempting from its weary weight its favorite toy, oh, you and its delights, you and you, as you hurl yourself across the tint of sinking sunlight that flows behind you as a wake of gold. And the final daylight sounds, you wing back to your eaves with you to weave into the hush, and then your after hush, which pulses in the sky of memory, one last beat more as full dark falls.
I love that poem.
Yeah, poem by C.K. Williams about the chimney swift.
Yeah, look at that.
And there was some discussion on one of the Wisconsin bird lists that I'm on about baby chimney swifts that were outside of the chimney and needed to be rescued. And I think they were rescued, and because sometimes they will fall, they'll nest in the chimney and it's time for them to fly and they don't fly and they fall to the bottom and they can't get up. And so they need some rescuing. And so they go they found them, and these bird watchers found them and took them to a rehab, bird rehab. And I had a cousin who did bird rehab, shout out to Margie, not of little chimney swifts, but of birds of prey. That's a job I'd like.
Oh.
Rehabbing the hawks and the eagles and the ospreys, and the snowy owls. Wouldn't that be fun? There are great rehab centers, bird wildlife rehab centers, all across the state of Wisconsin. So if you see a bird that's wounded, please call a rehab center. I want to just give a few shout outs and thank yous here at the end. I want to thank our guests who are with us today, Angela, Professor Victor Picard of the University of Pennsylvania. He's got a great article in The Nation. Just Google his name, Victor Picard, P-I-C-K-A-R-D, and The Nation magazine. He had a recent article that you can find there that's great. And, of course, Judge Chris Taylor, now a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. She was a terrific guest, and I wish her all the best. I want to thank Joe for her excellent call, as always. It's always nice to hear from Joe, who's got so much intelligent things to say, so many intelligent things to say. And Jacob at the controls, it's always fun working with you, Jacob. You make it so easy. And yes. Angela, you make it even easier.
We just have to show up and, you know, y'all handle the rest. So definitely appreciate it because it's a group effort.
Yeah, so much fun. And of course, I want to thank Maggie herself for letting us sub in while she's on vacation. Yeah. It's a pleasure and a real privilege to be with you and to be with everyone on the Civic Media Radio Network. I really treasure this network. It's an experiment in pro-democracy radio, and we need more and more of it. Hey, the ever-clever Pete Schwabe is next, so stay tuned for that. I'm Matt Rothschild signing off. For me and Angela, have a nice night.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The standoff between Texas House Democrats and Governor Greg Abbott continues, with the lawmakers out of state hampering GOP plans for new congressional maps. The latest from Austin.
Quorum has been broken, arrest warrants issued, and Governor Abbott has ordered state troopers to return House Democrats back to the state capitol. Texas House Speaker Dustin Burroughs weighed in.
They've shirked their responsibilities under the direction and pressure of out-of-state politicians and activists who don't know the first thing about what's right for Texas.
Many of the Texas Democrats are holed up in Illinois. State Rep Ann Johnson is one.
Texas Republicans are willing to sell their soul to serve the interest of Donald Trump.
Abbott's expected to keep calling special sessions till the congressional map is passed. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
California Democrats are considering new maps to eliminate five Republican-held House seats, a change in Trump administration.